Hey, good morning, church. How are you? One more time. Hey, church, how are you? All right, good. Well, hey, my name is not David. My name is Brent. David, this weekend is in Wichita, Kansas. We should feel sorry for him, right? No, but he's there. He is guest speaking at a church that he actually grew up in, Pastor Dean pastored. And it's also the church where Lito, you guys remember Lito, who is here, is now pastoring. So he just got done preaching his second of two messages. I don't know, he might have gone long. He might still be preaching, I don't know, two-hour time difference right there. But I've not done this yet. I've been here for about a year. But I guess what I understand about Lito is he was kind of the king of selfies. Yeah, did you see that? And so what I thought we would do is we just take a selfie today. Can I do that? Would you guys help me with that? Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead, and you guys got to pretend like you're excited to get a selfie. And apparently I need to open up my mouth wide too, because I guess Lito always like, does that, right? So ready? Now you got to wave your hands. Ready? Ready? Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. All right, I'm over here. Okay, over here. One more time here, because I can't let Lito win, right? Because I've learned anything from our church, it's all about competition. So ready? Ready? One, two, three. Smile. Go, ah. I don't know why you do that. Maybe it's like it makes you look skinnier when you guys do that with your face. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to get that out to them. We've been kind of exchanging selfies, and it's been kind of fun this morning. Yeah. Next week, we are going to be going in a whole new direction, and that is we're kicking off a series that we're calling I Want to Believe But. Many of us, if we're in this room or watching online, we've got questions about God, questions about our faith. And some of those questions are rooted in Scripture, and some of them are not at all. And when something is not biblically based, it can become very, very unhealthy and can become hurtful. There was an interaction that Jesus had with somebody who had questions about his faith. And what he said to Jesus in the Gospel of Mark was, I want to believe, but help me with my unbelief. And so next week, we're going to be kicking off this series. We're going to be looking at the fact that what happens when I pray to God and I ask God for something and he doesn't give it to me. And it's a good thing. It's something that God should answer. It's a prayer that he should say yes to, but he says, or it appears that he says no. Sometimes we view God as kind of like this cosmic vending machine. You know, you put in your prayer and pull the lever, and then you're going to get what you want when you want it. It's like on-demand God. We're going to look at through Scripture is that's not the full picture of who God has revealed himself to be. The following week, Pastor David's going to look at that misnomer that God just wants me to be happy. But the truth is, he wants us to be holy and to be set apart. So maybe you or someone that you know, a friend, a family member, maybe a coworker, neighbor, this would be a good series to think about inviting them to. Plus, next week's music is going to be awesome. So hopefully, if you are in town next week, you will be here and join us. But this morning, we're wrapping up this series. We're calling Uncharted. And the subtitle of this has been simply Navigating Through the Unknown. And that's where a lot of us are. A lot of us have some unknowns in our life. There are some things about our life that if we knew the answer to, we would say, yes, I'll do it. But a lot of times, walking by faith means having some things that are unknown. Whether it is an unknown in our career or an unknown in a relationship, whatever it might be, there are those things in life where we just have ourselves scratching our heads saying, I don't know. And the same is true for our church. There have been some unknowns where we have been stepping out by faith, trusting and believing that God is leading through the process. And so 3 weeks ago, Pastor David looked at answering that question before God is going to reveal where we're going. He wants to focus in on who we're becoming. And God is wanting to grow us to become better disciples, more like Jesus. And then the weekend after that, I continued the series by looking at the will of God, discerning where does God want us to go. We know that he wants us to become more like Christ, but where is he leading us in that process? And what we looked at is that oftentimes where we're going is directly in relationship with who we're doing life with, and that our friendships and our relationships will determine the quality and the direction of our life. Where we are today is in reflection to who we do life with. Now, last week, Pastor David turned a corner, and it was a necessary and a good corner, because what it did is it looked at opposition. And what he talked about is that we have to trust the process. We have to believe that when good things happen, it's not because everything is good, but because God is good. And that even during difficult times, when you're on mission for God or you're following after God's heart, we will get some pushback. We'll get opposition. But it's all good because God is good. Finally, today, what we're going to be looking at is just the whole business of taking steps in the direction of God and how it really is a step of faith. What I know about taking steps of faith is this, is that a lot of times if there's a preferred future where we know that we need to be, it's going to require us stepping away from what we know or what's secure. If we want something new, we're going to have to step away from something that's old. We're going to have faith from the familiar to say yes to what God is wanting us to do. Now, this is what I've heard from you. I've heard, Pastor Dave has heard, we've read your connection cards, that during this Uncharted series, some of you have discerned that God, while others are taking a break for school for summer, God in some of your hearts is like prodded your heart and saying, no, I want you to go back to school. For some of you, you're envisioning maybe a career change. Some of you, a relationship shift. Some of you have made the decision to go and become healthier in your eating habits and working out. Some of you have made decisions to end relationships with people that were pulling you back from God. Others of you have been waiting for the perfect circumstances and situations to get engaged, and you said there's never going to be a perfect time. I've heard about engagements happening in the last 3 weeks because you've been discerning that this is the person that God wants you to spend the rest of your life with. This is what I know to be true. What I know is God has been challenging us relationally and corporately. He's been challenging some of you to make attending church more regular of something that you do. For others, not just attending, but serving or giving. Some of you saying yes to a mission, others of you saying yes to ministry opportunities. During the summer, a time when a lot of people kind of take steps back, for some of you, you're sensing and feeling God's wanting you to step it up. But this is what I know. I know that the prophet Yogi Berra said that you will never finish something that you never start. You're never going to finish something that you never start. And a lot of times we get focused in on finishing the race, but we never get off the blocks. And for some of us, we're sitting on the sidelines and we're waiting to jump into the waves. And we start looking at all the oppositions. We start looking at all the questions that we don't have answers for. And we get stuck in what's called paralysis by analysis. Unfortunately, it's the start that stops a lot of us. Today, I believe, is going to be a start for many of us. It's going to be a spiritual start, a relational start, a career start. It's going to be a start for a mission and for a ministry. I've been hearing stories from last night and even after our first service this morning that have been blowing me away of how God has been speaking through his word to us today. So speaking of his word, I'd love for you to grab his word if you have it or go onto your devices and turn into the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. Now I realize that is not a familiar book, so you might need to turn to the table of contents first, okay? So turn to Nehemiah, and while you're turning to Nehemiah chapter 1 and chapter 2, I want to remind you kind of the backdrop for that story. And the backdrop is this, is that in the Old Testament, which means before Jesus, God was telling a story of redemption. He has chosen a group of people that we now know as the Jewish people, and he says, I want you to be set apart. I've chosen you to be my people. I want you to be obedient to me, and from you and out of your obedience, you're going to become a great nation, the nation of Israel. And God instructed them, I want you to be holy. Means different. I want you to be set apart. And if you will be holy and set apart, I will bless your socks off, Brent translation. And so what we know is that for a season they were, but then as oftentimes happens in our life, we become disobedient. And for them, they became disobedient and they began to worship other false gods. And unfortunately, the blessing turned to discipline. And the protection was lifted and opposition was allowed to come in. That happens in our life as well when we make choices. This opposition was a group of people called the Babylonians. And the Babylonians came into the city of Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, and they began to have their way. They ransacked the city, they tore it down, they burned it down. And not only did they push out the Jewish people into exile, but many of them went into slavery. So that's the backstory to Nehemiah. And it's within Nehemiah that some 140 years have passed. This city has remained in ashes and rubble for 140 years. And a group of people, similar that we would do on a summer vacation, we would travel to our hometown. A group of Jewish people went to Jerusalem, and they were blown away by what they saw. They were embarrassed. They were angry to see that the temple had been destroyed. And literally from the ashes of Jerusalem and the destruction of the Babylonians came a leader, and his name was Nehemiah. And he rose up from there, and God touched his heart and said, I want to give you an opportunity to rebuild the temple. He had the faith to start. That's what I'm calling this morning's message. Simply, it's the faith to start. And I want to give credit where credit is due. And it was a couple of years ago, I was at a conference called the Leadership Summit. And it's the Envision leader from that was a man by the name of Bill Hybels. And in that message that he opened up with, he talked about a concept called holy discontent. And holy discontent is something that Bill talks about and uses many examples, but he does use Nehemiah. And basically what he says is that God is going to allow you to become personally impacted by something in life. And that God is going to allow that to become, whether you want to call it a burden or a calling, that will usher into a season of ministry and mission. It's the holy discontent that leads you into the uncharted waters where we really have to navigate through the unknown. It's the holy discontent that fuels the fire that ignites the personal vision that God wants every one of us to have. For some of you, it's widows. For some of you, it's orphans. For some of you, it's single moms. For our senior pastor, David, it was a vision that God was wanting us to become a regional church, just not a church in Fresno and Clovis. That God has blessed us so much in the mission and the vision of this church that he had a vision to reach the entire Central Valley. Now, God's timing and the opportunities is what we were waiting on. A lot of people have asked the question, why change the name from Northside to Cross City? Well, it's because the vision began to necessitate a change. And so when the Visalia campus became available, David knew that there would be opposition, there would be pushback, but to reach people that no one else was reaching, we needed to be willing to do things that no one else was doing. It was a holy discontent to be settled in the comfortable Clovis suburbs that led us to become obedient to our mission to reach more and make better disciples for Jesus. Amen? Guys, it's also what you're going to see at the end of the service. You're going to see the holy discontent of a godly man. His name is Jim Corral. He had been our executive pastor, and now he is our outreach pastor. And Jim has a heart for unreached people groups, whether it is in central Fresno, or it is an unreached people group in the mountains of Mexico, or it is an unreached nation like India. He has a heart and a passion to win and to reach the lost. And that holy discontent makes many of us uncomfortable, myself included. Because tomorrow at 10:30, my son is going to hop on a bus and travel halfway across the world for 2 weeks to reach India for Christ. But that's exactly, yeah, that's worth clapping right there. But that's not convenient. That's actually really scary and kind of sketchy, if I'm being honest. He's 14 years old. But I know God has a plan for his life. That's what happens when a man or a woman becomes committed to the vision God gives them. It was 4 years ago this summer that my wife and I were discerning God's calling of our family back to the promised land of the Central Valley. And we were living in Portland, Oregon. And God called us, and not me, but our family, to go and to be a part of the rebuilding of a community called Fresno Christian Schools. And my wife said yes to an opportunity to be an English teacher and to be a Bible teacher at Fresno Christian in the high school. We had no idea what we were getting ourselves into, but a little bit, we became a little disappointed because when we got there, we could tell that a lot of the school was in ruins and rambles. Enrollment was down, morale was low, people were leaving, fleeing to other places, but we felt called to be there, to be a part of the rebuilding of what God wanted to do in Christian education here in our hometown of Fresno. And it wasn't overnight, but over the course of 4 years, God began to bring more leaders began to give Amy and our family more influence, brought in a new superintendent and a new vision to raise up world changers. And Amy's role shifted from being an English teacher to a dean of students, and now for the past several years, the principal at Fresno Christian Schools. And it's not because she is a great leader, though she is. It's because God touched her heart and touched our family's heart that he wanted to rebuild something. And now enrollment's at an all-time high, morale is through the roof, and we believe the best days are ahead for Fresno Christian Schools. I know it was 2.5 years ago as I was talking to a friend of mine who has a heart for Africa, because for me, I've historically held the opinion with so much need right here in our backyard, why in the world do we need to go across the world? But God laid on my heart Africa, Kenya, Africa specifically. I began to hear about the incredible need that was in Africa. I began to hear about the fatherless and the motherless orphans that were there, the AIDS pandemic and the systemic poverty and corruption in Africa. And God laid in my heart a holy discontent that we have so much. And what would it look like for us to take a little of what we have and expose what we have there? Thinking that we would make a difference in Africa, God gave me the opportunity to lead a team of 22 people last summer to Kenya, Africa. I need to tell you, I'd never been to Africa in my life, and no one knew that. And I realized I was way in over my boots, everyone, when we had a layover in Dubai, United Emirates. We were all crashed out on the comfortable carpet of the Dubai airport, when all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, a call to prayer went throughout the entire airport. And I found myself freaking out because everyone else was hitting the ground and our kids got up on their feet and saying, what in the world is that? And I realized we weren't in Kansas anymore, Toto. And I had one of those moments where I thought to myself, dear God, what have I gotten myself into? I felt so incredibly underprepared and unqualified to lead a team there. But this is what I learned through that process, is that God qualifies the called. God has a way of taking people without all the experience and education and resources and allowing them to do great things for him and for his kingdom. Nehemiah was not qualified by man's standards to rebuild a wall. He wasn't a contractor. He didn't have a construction background. No, he was a cupbearer for the king, incredibly unqualified to lead a movement of people. You're thinking to yourself, what's a cupbearer? Well, basically, he would sample the wine and the food of the king. And some of you are thinking, oh, that sounds great, like Napa Valley, you know, like Paso. I love to do that. It's not like a vacation. No, no, no. He sampled the food and the wine to make sure the king wasn't getting poisoned. Some definitely some hazardous conditions in his work environment. In the process of all of that, you begin to see that God was beginning to say, I want you to give up the cup of your security for the adventure of saying yes to me. What he did is he started where we all need to start, and where I pray that you would start this morning. And that is by asking God, is it possible, God, that you are touching my heart and my life right now to do something out of the ordinary, beyond the known? Are you possibly leading me into a next step with you? And so he went before God, we see in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5. And he says, God, if this is going to be, it needs to be you, not me. And God was gracious and he softened the heart of the king of the land where Nehemiah was living and working. And not only did he soften the king's heart, but the king gave him favor and gave him the opportunity to go and begin this monumental task. And it was massive. But I need you guys to catch something. If you guys catch nothing else, catch this. In the monumental tasks of life, it always starts with a small first step. Would you write that down? Today's first point, if you want to have the faith, is you got to start. Would you write that down? You got to start small. You're never going to finish something that you never start. And it's the start that stops so many of us. And when God calls us to something, it may be small, but don't think that small in God's eyes isn't significant. The prophet Zechariah says in the Old Testament, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work what? Begin. For so many of us, we get stuck, we get paralyzed, and we forget that God, he gets giddy about watching us get in the game. He rejoices when we begin to take spiritual steps, as small as they may be. I remember watching my son Blake and my daughter Paige taking their first steps when they went from crawling to walking, and they kind of had that like Johnny Depp, Pirates of the Caribbean drunk walk going, right? And they started doing that, and then they started running, and they started playing. And I just remember as a dad, love to watch my children run and play. And how much more does our Heavenly Father love watching you and us and we in the game, playing, taking steps in His direction? But the key is, we got to be willing to start. And we got to start small, because small steps, I'm telling you guys, is how God builds big walls. Because before Nehemiah could build the wall, he had to go to God first, and then he had to go to his boss. And then he had to go to the people, which means that he had to prepare. He had to pack. And I don't know if it was a duffel bag or if it was luggage. If he had to go get his toothbrush and his retainer, I'm not exactly sure what he needed for the journey. But I know that it wasn't around the corner. It was 850 miles away. So from Fresno, that's beyond Portland, Oregon, halfway to Seattle. And they weren't traveling in the comfort of an air-conditioned SUV with DVD. They're on a mule or by foot, and it was not convenient. It was a lot of work to get there. And just like many of us experienced the DMV, they had to hurry up and wait once he got there. And he'd never built anything before, and so he had to get on Wikipedia, and he had to look up how to build a wall. He had to investigate. He had to find out, you know, what did Google say about this? And then he didn't have a union to go through. He didn't have people on payroll. So he had to begin to mobilize by casting vision the people to do something for God. And you better believe he had opposition. Oh, he had a lot of it. We're going to see it in just a moment. People pushed back, and he kept on pushing in. And then he did something that we've forgotten in our culture today. He just worked. He worked, and he worked, and he worked. Guys, I want to remind you that when you are working for God and you're on mission for God, it's work. It's not easy. Some of you guys feel like you are going uphill and against the wind, but you know that God has called you to take on that mountain. Nehemiah gathered the officials in chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. I believe it's there on your notes. The officials, the priests, and the kind of the nobility of the time there in Jerusalem. He said, "Then I said to them, you see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins." Guys, I don't want you to think that this is just a little fixer-upper job. No, this is a city that's been destroyed. The gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us what? Let's say it out loud, church. Rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we'll no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God and on me and what the king had said to me. And they replied, let's say this out loud together, everyone. Let's start rebuilding. And so they began this work. I want to remind you what the prophet said, and that is that the Lord rejoices when the work begins. And that's exactly what Nehemiah did. He got after it. And he didn't have all the details figured out. He didn't have all the funding figured out. He didn't have the experience figured out. But this is one thing that he has and what we have, and that was he had a holy discontent. It was something that God allowed to be in his heart that awakened him at a level where he knew that he had to start. He had to do it, and that God was with him. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Guys, we sometimes focus so much on the end product that we never start. You don't need the faith to finish. You just need the faith to start. You just need to get off the blocks. You just need to get out of the gate. For some of you, you've been holding off on saying yes to God because you've been afraid of like how it may impact you days and weeks and months from now. Don't worry about that. Just start taking steps in His direction now. Starting small doesn't mean thinking small. God can do the impossible when we simply trust Him with our possible. A year ago, a couple of days before I got on the plane to go to Africa with 21 other unsuspecting souls, that I was approached by our senior pastor David and our executive pastor Jeremy. And they approached me and they said, you know, we just hate to do this to you. We know you're on your way to Africa. We're confident that you're the best man to do that. And man, you're so prepared for that. And I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. And they said, but while you're there, would you just pray about maybe is it possible that God is calling you and your family to be a part of our church in the future? And wow. Because you see, I had a nice cup. I had a cup that was secure. I had relationships, stability, employment, position. But God set me across the world to discern his will in my life. I need to tell you something. If you ever want to go to a place where you can discern and hear God's voice, go to Africa. Because you will hear from God. You will see God there. And through a series of events, it became crystal clear to me that God was saying, I want you to say yes to this opportunity. And I had so many questions, so many details, so many unknowns, but it became obvious to me that God was taking me from where I was to where he wanted us to be as a community. Because I got to tell you, had I not said yes to the promptings of God to discern his will with a little baby step, man, how much I would have and we would have missed out on. Guys, this has been an amazing year at our church. Would you guys agree with me on that? You know, a year ago at this time, there wasn't even a frat house open yet. And there are some of you right now that you've never known this church without the beautiful, magical, Jesus-honoring sounds of a frappuccino being made. But it's more than just wonderful drinks that are doing good for our community, but it's changed us into a community that hangs out with each other. Because I've never known this church without there being a baptistry outside, where we have seen countless people this year be baptized. Did you know that year to date, we are averaging more than one person per day being baptized at our church? And that's all as a result of God's faithfulness and a vision. I mean, someone had an idea. I know what we're going to do. Let's build a coffee house. And the community is going to come to it. And people from every church are going to come here. And the gospel is going to go forward. And people are like, you're crazy. Crazy genius. You want to do baptisms outside? You know it's like 100 degrees outside? You know people are lining up to be baptized outside. Guys, I need to let you know that when you say yes to God, the impossible becomes possible. I just think about what God is doing, not only in and through my life, but this church. And guys, we've experienced some opposition. We've experienced some setbacks. We've experienced some criticism on, like, why would you change your name? But that's okay. As big as some of that opposition is, I need you to know that what Nehemiah was facing was even bigger. I want to show you a couple pictures. About a year and a half ago, I had the opportunity to travel once again to Jerusalem. And speaking of the wall, this is actually probably the most famous wall in all of the world. This is called the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall. And if you're a Jewish person, this is as close in this corner right here as you can be to what would be in the Old Testament, the holiest of holies. That's where the temple would have been, right on the other side of this wall. And right now, people come from all over the world to see that wall. Did you know that Nehemiah helped rebuild that wall? Let me show you, though, on the other side of that wall. There's another wall. It looks different. Architecture's different. It's been torn down and rebuilt since that wall. This is me with my iPhone just looking up and snapping a photo. But on the other side of that wall, if you would, to the last photo there, is a mosque. And this is the mosque where today there's a Muslim influence there, and the Dome of the Rock is there. And you don't have to be a theological, political student to know that this is a very significant wall with many challenges nonetheless. But did you also know that as a result of Nehemiah's obedience to take those small steps in that direction, even with the opposition, even with all that it means to this day, it started with a small step? Guys, don't despise small beginnings, because God rejoices when the work begins. When we take spiritual steps, God gets involved. Second point, if you would, write this down. You just got to take the next step. Would you write that down? Not only are you going to start small, but it doesn't start and then stop and start and stop. No, you begin to take a small step, And then you take another step and another step and another step. And you're going to get some opposition. You're going to get some pushback. You're going to get some water in the boat. Some waves are going to hit you. You're going to feel like you're taking on water and you're drowning. There's going to be times that you're going to question your resolve. That's why Pastor Dave's message last week was so timely. Because it's a part of the process of how God makes more and better disciples is he allows opposition into our life. I think about the project up here on the wall, the Catch the Wave project. And that is where we have year to date raised over $500,000 above and beyond our tithe to see a future youth building being built. And it's amazing. In the midst of all of that, as generous as you have been, we have been getting all of the government we could ever want to afford with all the paperwork. And it's delayed our time frame. But in God's sovereignty, not in our plans, he knew that he wanted that to continue to build so that we could wait, so that our focus could be on planting a church in Visalia. And you know how generous and gracious God is? Did you know that through a completely other group of resources that had nothing to do with that over there, God provided a campus in Visalia, free and clear, debt-free? Only God. But there was opposition in the midst of all of that. And people are thinking to yourself, what are you guys doing? And we're like, we're not really sure, actually. We kind of look like we knew, but we really don't know what's going on here. And I just want to let you guys know that we're really not that smart, but we really do have big faith in a big God. And you're going to get opposition in life. Look here in your notes, in your Bibles. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite, and I'm looking for the Samsonites and the termites here pretty soon too, and the parasites. But and then when Geshem the Arab heard about this, they mocked and they ridiculed us. What is it that you're doing, they ask? Are you rebelling against the king? And I answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start to rebuild. What am I saying is when we start taking next steps, we should anticipate some pushback, some opposition. If you've never been mocked and ridiculed for your faith in God, it's possible that you're not doing it right. We've been mocked and ridiculed for changing our church's name, and that's okay. We were mocked and ridiculed for leaving Portland to move to Fresno. Who does that? Some of you have been mocked and ridiculed for drawing a line in the sand and saying, I'm just not going to do that anymore, ethically or sexually or financially. Some of you have said yes to tithing, and you've experienced some opposition with some financial delays and pushbacks. Others of you have said yes to believing God was leading you in directions only to experience some personal loss. Guys, I just want to remind you that when you are being obedient to God and you are praying the prayer that I pray for many of you, God, would you give me the wisdom to discern your will and the courage to respond? I just want you to trust me. You can trust God. Would you write this down as kind of begin to close? A small step in the right direction can be the biggest step of your life. Did you write that down? The smallest step in the right direction can be the biggest step in your life. God today is giving us as a faith community the opportunity to not only corporately but personally stand in the gap and say yes to his ongoing invitation to serve, to give, and to love our community. And this is not something that we've made up. This is not a faith journey that we've created. There's actually holy history documents this for us. St. Francis of Assisi, I'm sure you've heard of him before, famously was quoted as saying, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. You've heard that before. But he also was quoted as saying this, and I think it's poignant for today. Start doing what is necessary, then what's possible, and suddenly you are doing what, church? The impossible. Do you see the progression there? To do the necessary. Do your job. You've got the cup of your career. Do that. But when you see an opportunity to do something that's possible, say yes to the possibility and trust God that he will do what's impossible. That's exactly what Nehemiah did. From a cupbearer for a king to a wall builder for the King of Kings. And he did it miraculously in 52 days. 52 days. Not 5 years, 52 days. And the only way you can look at that for an unqualified person that was under-resourced and didn't know what he was doing is to say, only God. An individual that was willing to say yes. And here's my question for you. In 52 days from today, what will you say yes to? By the way, if you're wanting to put in a date on your calendar, it's August 16th. What could God possibly do in 52 days in your family, in your life, for his glory and for his honor? Guys, all you need to do is you just need to start with the possible and trust that God is going to do the impossible. Nehemiah could have never known when he was doing this thousands of years ago we'd be talking about him. He focused in on the holy discontent, which is we need to rebuild the wall. And in the process of rebuilding a wall, he rebuilt an economy, and he rebuilt a place and a location and a people and a nation. Guys, I want you to catch this. We hear stories like that. We get in over our head and we wonder, God, I can't do anything like that. Don't worry about that. See, a lot of times we focus in on what we think we can accomplish in 52 days. We overestimate what we think we can do, but we severely underestimate what God can do in 52 days. Don't underestimate an impossible miracle allowing God. You focus in on what's necessary. You do what's possible and pray for faith to see God and trust God for the impossible. And as I close, you're going to be discouraged. You're going to be disappointed. Don't give up, church. Don't ever give up. Don't give up on your faith. Don't give up on your God. The Galatian writer says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest. What, everyone? If we do not what, church? Give up. Don't you give up. Some of you are thinking, when's the proper time? When it's time. But I've been waiting. Yeah, you might need to wait a little longer. And God will be with you. You focus on what's necessary. You focus in on what's possible, and you trust God to do the impossible. Today's a day when you can take steps in his direction. Small ones, but significant ones. Would you join me in prayer? Let's pray. So God, I believe right now, regardless of where we go, I think you're focusing in on who we're becoming. That we are becoming a faith community of men and women that are focused on Jesus. And we want to become more and better disciples of him. And more than where we're going, I do believe today is a moment in the sand where many of us are being challenged to say yes to God's leading. Saying yes to where you're challenging us to go. And we need to trust the process. We need to trust that if we say yes to you in this area of our life, that you're going to come through, God. So God, today, right now, Holy Spirit, would you give us a supernatural ability to have the faith to start the journey? Would we start small? God, would you give us the supernatural faith to start, to be willing to go to you, God, and say, would you direct us, and the trust and the faith to be able to take steps in your direction. God, I believe with all my heart today that if we'll take steps in the right direction, God, you will make a big impact. So now I pray maybe for the relationships that need to be recentered on you, Christ. I pray for careers that might need to shift. I pray for habits that need to be redeemed. I pray for homes that need to be restored. I pray for lives that need to be reorientated towards the one true God, that if we'll honor you, we'll seek you, you'll meet us right where you are, and you'll take us where you want us to be. And so God, now I pray as we begin to move into this song, as we begin to surrender our life to you, that it'd be more than just wrapping up another series, hearing another message. But today, I pray for obedience, whether that's obedience to come forward and receive prayer, maybe it's obedience to receiving Christ, maybe it's obedience to being baptized, whatever that next step is, I pray in the name of Jesus that we'll have the courage and the strength to say yes. If this is your prayer, would you say amen? Amen. So if you would stand at this time as we're led in this song, a song of surrender and opportunity to make Christ not only our Savior, but the Lord of our life. If you would stand at this time.